morning. Good to be safe and warm out of the elements this morning. As Daryl said, this morning we're doing a short series on why we exist. And when I saw that, I thought, why we exist, that's a pretty deep subject. We could, spend hours kind of. But I pray this morning that when we head out those doors, we'll have one thing that we can really think about and really apply over this coming week to answer that very deep question about why we exist. So that's the aim for this morning. Now, I wonder if you've been to a meeting for something, and you've spent quite a long time talking and discussing things, and the meeting's really over, and you get out to leave, and then the host comes up, sort of taps you on the shoulder and says, "Oh, just a few other things. Don't forget to," or maybe you've been around to somebody's place for morning or afternoon tea, or lunch even, and you've been nattering away and discussing heaps of things, then you leave, jump in the car, put the seatbelt on, start up the engine, and there's a tap on the window. And they bring the window down, and it's the host. And again, they say, "Oh, just a couple of other things. Don't forget." I wonder if you've kind of been in that situation. Well, when you get into the book of Hebrews, that's the impression I get. For the first 12 chapters, it's kind of some quite discussing on lots of things. And then the last chapter is more one of those, tap on the windows, don't forget. And there's some discussions on things just as you head out in life, just don't forget to do this, don't forget to do that, do this. And so that's kind of the scene we're at. There are these tap on the window things, or leaving a meeting and hey, don't forget. And the verse we're looking at this morning is one of these don't forget important stuff, and it's chapter 13 and it's verse 16. Carrying on, finding out a little about why we exist. So the writer kind of knocks on our window and he says, there we go, we'll see. It says, don't forget to war. What's it going to be? Remember, we're talking about why do we exist? What is it that he wants to leave us with? What is the important thing he wants us to know? And he says, and don't forget to do good. Now, the way he says it is a little kind of stronger than, so you're running short of milk at home, somebody's heading out to do something, and you say to them, "Oh, don't forget to get the milk." And you go out and about and do your thing, and then you, this is a little close to home actually, do your thing. Then you come home and, or you've forgotten the milk. But it kind of doesn't really matter because you'll be out and about tomorrow when you can get some more milk. So it's not a big deal. But if you have a look at what the NASB, how they translate it, they say, do not neglect doing good. So it gives a slightly different slant on it. So can you see, as a follower of God, as a follower of Jesus, there's an expectation that we will do good. It's not a case of if you don't do good or you forget doing good, it doesn't matter. We are being neglectful if we don't do good. So it's a case of the writer here of the Hebrews knocking on our window and saying, hey, don't forget to do good, make it a priority. So there's a bit of a strength in doing that. That's what being a follower of Jesus is all about. This is why we're here. And as I was looking at these words here, how many of them are there? Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just 6 words. Man, some memories came flooding into me when I was reading and thinking about them, of when I've been the recipient of people, fellow brothers and sisters, doing good to me. Particularly the thoughts I had was, I mentioned my dad a couple of weeks ago, but when my dad had cancer, and then after he died, though I was just 14, like, was a fair while ago, man, it impacts me today. You know, I was thinking of Mr. and Mrs. Drain. Mrs. Drain, she was famous for church lunches for her cream sponges and chocolate eclairs. I mean, that's what us young fellas had our eyes on. Amen. Bumfa. We were into it. But Mrs. Drain, man, and Mr. Drain, knowing the amount of visitors that we had at our place, over that 8-month kind of period that my dad was sick, she baked for us every single week. Every single week, Mrs. Drain would bake. That was, you know, 8 months without fail. Every week there'd be a knock on the door, open the door, and there was Mr. or Mrs. Drain or both of them, and we'd exchange cake tins. Empty ones for full ones. Whoa. For the guests who were coming, but also for us. Man, isn't that amazing? That's doing good. What an example. I mean, 8 months and she carried on after my dad died. Every week, buying, baking, delivering. What an amazing thing to do. That was Mr. and Mrs. Drain, you know, sharing their lives with us. And it was a joy for them to be able to do it. And, you know, it still impacts me today. And after my dad died, I'd be playing soccer for Newlands College on the field. And I'd hear this voice of encouragement. And I'd look around, and it was Adrian. A guy in his 20s, just newly married. He was a youth group, one of the youth group leaders at church. And again, there he was, watching me play on a Saturday afternoon. Man, that meant a lot when I heard that voice and turned around, and there he was. That's doing good. That was Adrian sharing his life, you know, with me. And that still impacts me today. Or there'd be a phone call from Adrian, particularly after my dad died. And he'd say, hey, Adrian and I, Adrian married Adrian. So I was Adrian married Adrian. Anyway, that's a confusing story. But Adrian would ring up and say, Adrian and I are going to the park. Do you and Jamie, my brother, want to come? And we'd jump in the back of the Triumph Herald and off we'd go into Athletic Park to watch the rugby. Man, now that was doing good. That was Adrienne and Adrienne sharing their life with my brother and I. And it was a joy for them to be able to do it. It was a bit of a sacrifice too. They probably would have enjoyed the company on their own, but they had ours, had us fellas tagging along. But it was a joy for them to be able to do it. And again, that still impacts me today. An amazing act of goodness. And the summer following when my dad died, my mum got a phone call and from somebody at church. And said, Lyle, can you make scones? Well, my mother could certainly make scones. She made millions of scones. He said, oh, we're coming around next Saturday. We're going to paint your house. Can you paint your house? So that Saturday, a bunch of people from church came around and began the preparation that would lead on to them painting our house. Man, and they painted our entire house. Wow, that's doing good. That was all those people sharing their lives with us. You know, we had a lot of fun painting our house. Though again, it was a sacrifice for some to come and do it. And that still impacts me today. And that's what verse 1, the very first thing in this chapter that's kind of sets the scene. It says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. You know, that's living that verse 1 out. And I can't help but think of Linda H. I've mentioned Linda before from up here, but this has really impacted me of somebody doing good. I was in my 20s, and Linda's daughter came up to me and said, "Oh no, Mum's done it again." I said, "Oh, what's she done?" She said, "Well, we were queuing in the supermarket, and there was a mum with two little kids in front of us, and she was struggling a bit, and Mum got talking to her and ended up taking her home for a cup of tea." That was Linda. Didn't know her from a bar of soap. Saw she was struggling a bit in that queue, got talking to her, and took her home for a cup of tea. And then kept in touch after that. Wow, that's doing good too. And it was a pleasure for her to do it. She was sharing her life with that young mum. And that was a long time ago. Still impacts me today. Now, I could share powerful examples from our own church, but much is done kind of under the radar, and it's really just between the good doer and the recipient, and not my place to share, but I encourage you, keep it up. Keep it up in years to come. Somebody might be, you know, when the sort of time's gone on, be share and help others with that as well. But keep it up. That's why we're here, to do good. And some of these are powerful kind of examples, but it might be as simple as just you're heading out and there's been horrendous winds like yesterday and earlier today. It might be just as simple as picking up your neighbour's wheelie bin and the rubbish that's scattered around, mowing the lawns for somebody that's struggling a bit, emptying the dishwasher even, inviting somebody to church. I mean, I'm inviting somebody after lunch. No, I'll say that again. Inviting somebody from church to your house after... No. Sorry, I'll get this right. Anyway, inviting somebody to your place for a bit of hospitality at some time. And doing that. Or if somebody seems a little bit on the outer, just inviting them into your circle of friends. Now, maybe it's a case of just waking up in the morning and saying, "Lord, how can I best do good for others today?" And then looking out for opportunities with the Holy Spirit's help. And maybe just a little side, maybe it's if you're not in a home group, jumping into a home group, getting involved in a home group where you get to know people at a deeper level and finding out people's needs in that environment. It's a wonderful way of then being able to help others out. And if you're in a home group, maybe aim to get your home group atmosphere to a level where people are happy to share, and then you can act on those very important home groups in the life of our church and for acting out this. And then he goes on and says something that's closely related to this doing good, builds on it. Says, and don't forget to share with those in need. You know, at the time, lots of the Christians who would be reading this would know people who are in prison, and it's mentioned earlier on in this chapter, maybe in prison for their faith, and were struggling financially. Their families back at home struggling financially, and those in prison needing money for food, and others who had been scattered for persecution may have had to shift different towns and were struggling for employment. So maybe this is why he says, don't forget to share with those in need. And we can see people in need as well. Look after these people when you hear about them and where you see them. Share what you have with them. And in verse 5, just sort of backtracking a bit, he says, don't be controlled by the love for money. Be happy with what you have. Again, if we are controlled by the love for money, then we're never going to share. So maybe we need to just step back about and just assess how much are we thinking, this is just mine. Whereas if we're thinking, hey, this is God's, we can share a bit more what we have. But the verse, it doesn't finish here. The next part is really quite challenging and a cool rest of the verse. When good is done, it's not just the recipient and the giver who are impacted, who benefit. There is another who is impacted. And the verse goes on. These are the sacrifices that please God. Wow. He notices and is pleased. Almighty God observes what we do and is pleased with us. Why? Why kind of is he? Well, let's flick over to Titus 2, verse 14. And it gives just one kind of hint as to why he is pleased. It says, he gave his life to, this is talking about the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. So when God the Father allowed his Son to come down to earth and to suffer horrendously for us, and God the Father watched this, it wasn't just so we could have forgiveness of sins. It wasn't just so we could come into God's family. It wasn't just so heaven could become our home. It was so our lives could be transformed while we were still here on earth, transformed so that we could naturally and consistently do good for others. See the point of this verse? That's one of the reasons the Lord Jesus suffered and died for us, so we could have our lives transformed, so we could gradually and over time it becoming a natural and just a consistent thing for us to do good in that way. And so when he looks and observes what we are doing, he is well pleased. His Son's suffering and his Son's death on the cross wasn't in vain, because he sees that we are being transformed, that we are doing good. And that's something to really contemplate and think about. It does show the success of his and the power of his suffering. So why do we exist? To do good. One reason, to do good and share our lives with others. So maybe let's, as a church, massively please God. Let's make it our aim this week to head out the door to pray, Lord, show me an area where I can do good for you. And with the Holy Spirit's help, when you see that opportunity, take it up and massively please God. Let's give thanks to God. Father God, thank you again for your word, the Bible, that it is extremely practical for helping us to live in a manner and way that you are pleased with. And Father, we would ask today as we head out the door later on that you will show us opportunities where we can do good for others, and ultimately it's doing good for you. And again, we thank you for that ultimate act of doing good, your Son, who came down and suffered and died for us. And thank you for all we have as a result.